Today's shir is Masech Tabeya, Daf Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the second wide line. In our previous shir, we had learned the Braisa, where the Braisa had said, the Braisa had discussed what types of foods become bottled and what types of food don't become, what types of items don't become bottled. And the Braisa had said, according to Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Kiva, there were many types of six or seven types of food that are considered very significant and don't become bottled. Everything else becomes bottled. But Rameyer said that anything that's usually sold by piece, Mekadesh, does not have the halachas of bittul. And we begin today's shir V'itmar lo, a machloikis, and how to understand the opinion of Rameya. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, eshedaka limna sheninu. Only something that is always sold by peace. That is the only situation where there is no bittul. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, kol shedaka limna sheninu. As long as it's something that's sold usually by peace, even if at times it's not sold that way, it will not become bottled. So, according, says the Gemara, Hanichal Rish Lakish, according to Rish Lakish, that something which is usually sold by piece will not become bottled. That's why we could understand that the egg that fell in between other eggs, the Braisa said, doesn't become bottled. Because eggs are the type of item that are usually sold by peace. But says the Gemara, El Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, who Rabbi Yochanan said it has to be something that's always sold by peace. And as we discussed in the previous year, eggs are something that are typically not sold by peace, but not always, sometimes they're sold by a unit. So why would the egg not become bottled? So the Gemara is trying to find a Tana for the Braisa that says that eggs don't become bottled. And the way Rabbi Yochanan interprets the opinion of Rameyer, it can't be Rameyer. So therefore, says the Gemara, Amra Papa, Ha Tana. Who is the Tana that holds that eggs won't become bottled? Tana the Litruk Tziyasu. The Tana that speaks about figs that are made into such cakes that they press the figs together. Domar, that he clearly says, kol shebeminyan, something that's usually sold by piece, even if the isser is only an isser derabbanan, like bottle, it won't become bottle. And certainly the case that we're speaking about, where we're speaking about the beya of a trefa, which is an isser deraisa, it's considered significant enough that it will not become bottle. The Tanan. And the Gemara goes into this subject. The Mishnah in Masechta Trumas, Perek Dalet Mishnah Yud, teaches us. Litra Ktzias. If you have a litra of a cake of figs, Shadarsa Pli Eagle. There was a mold that was called an eagle. It was made into a cake. It formed them into a round fashion. And now in that cake of figs, there's truma. Now, says the Mishnah, we have truma figs here, but we don't know in which cake of figs is that fig. Apichavis. And these figs are on the top of a barrel. But we don't know which barrel. Well, kipikaveris. Or it's a different type of a basket. And we don't know in which one of the baskets can we find this cake that has in it the eagle that's truma. Rameya Oimer. So Rameya says that this question is machloikus Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua. And Rabbi Lezer Oimer, according to this version, Rabbi Lezer says, Roinus al Yoinus kila. We separate that the ones that are all on top of the barrels, as if they're in the barrel, and therefore ma'alas es alyonis. The shear by truma, that the shear of bittel by truma, is a ratio of 200 to 1. Says Rebbe Lezer, according to a mayor, when we are trying to figure out how we reach that number 200, we look at all of the figs and all of the baskets, the top and the bottoms. And if we take all of those figs into consideration, and we have the proper ratio of 200 to 1, they will become bottle. Rav Shua Imer, we can't take the figs on the bottom of the baskets into consideration, because we know that the truma is not on the bottom of the basket. We know the truma is on the top of the basket. So therefore, what he says is, Rav Shua Imer, im yesham meyapumim, if you have 100, the ratio is 100 to 1. If you have 100 baskets, so then we take all the top of the baskets that all have these cakes or figs on the back, on the top. We take all of those baskets, all of the top of the baskets into consideration, and therefore yalu, and the truma becomes bottle. Vimlav, but if we don't have 100 baskets, then kala puma surim, then everything on that's on the top of any of the baskets, we're going to have to be machmer on. We'd have to be concerned that maybe on each one of these tops is the cake of figs, which is truma. But what's on the bottom, the shalayim, everything on the bottom is mutter, because we know that the bottom did not have any truma. And as the Rashba explains the Gemara, because the Rashba asks, how are we combining all the baskets? What is the connection between one basket and the other basket? So the Rashba explains that the Gemara here is referring to a situation where all the baskets belong to the same individual. And since all of the baskets belong to the same individual, that's why the halacha combines them for the different shailas that we are discussing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, however, Rabbi Yehuda has a different version of the machloket between Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua. Rabbi Yehuda has a much stricter interpretation. And according to Rabbi Yehuda's version, Rabbi Lezer says we look at all the top of the baskets, and if we have 100 taps, then they could be mevatel the truma, yalu, vimlav, but if we don't have 100 top of the baskets, kol pum asurim, then all the taps are asur, because it's not bottle. For shalayim, but whatever on the bottom, mutarim, because they not part of the question. If Shua says, afilu yesham shloish meis pumim, even if we'll have a ratio, he gives an exaggerated number, even if we'll have a ratio of 300 to 1, that still the halach will be lo yalu, they don't become bottle. Dosa b'igol, if we take the truma and we put it into a cake, v'eni idei be'ezel igol darsa, so we don't even know which was that cake of figs that has the truma in it. Divrei hakol yalu, everybody agrees that that is a situation where the truma becomes bottle. So what we have here clearly is that something chashiv that's usually sold by piece doesn't become bottle. So according to we were up to now sugya. According to Chamim, there are only 6 fruits that don't become bottle. According to Bekiva, there are 7. According to a mayor, according to Rabbi Yochanan, only something that's always sold by piece is not bottle. And according to Rabbi Reish Lakish, it has to be usually sold by piece. According to Rabbi Shua, even something which is usually sold by piece is enough that it doesn't become bottle, even by an Issa D'Rabbanan. La Locha, the Shulchan Aruch, paskins like Rabbi Kiva, that only the 7 things that he mentioned are considered significant enough not to become bottle. The Ramah, paskins like Rameya, with Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of Rameya, if it's something that's always sold by piece, that's enough to give it the category that it should never become bottle. Ask the Gemara, Divrei Hako, Haida Pluktayu, is this where they argued? What does it mean when it says Divrei Hako? Isn't this the subject of their machloikis? Amrapapa Hachkam, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Darsa be eagle, if you have it in an eagle and it's not on the top of the baskets, then you day ba'ezim mokam be eagle darsa, and we don't know exactly where in that cake is it. Is it on the north or on the south side of the cake? Divra ako yalu. Since it's not noticeable at all, then it's bottle. But what we see from here, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that something which is usually sold is by piece is not bottle. And that's why he's going to hold that the egg is not bottle. Rav Ashi Amar, again, the Braisa, the Gemara asked a question on Daf Gimel on the base, that the Braisa said that an egg, that we have a question about it, is if we have a suffix about it, it's usur. And the Gemara's question was that according to the interpretation that we learned at the beginning of Masechta of Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, that a Beis Shanol de Biyontif is only usur midrabonan because of Peiros and Noshrim, or because of Mashkin Shazavu, so it's also Drabonon. When we have a suffix by an Issa Drabonon, we should be lenient. And says the Gemara, Rashi Amal Oilam Suffolk Yomta Suffolk Bechol. Yes, the question here is, was this egg born on Yontif? And it would be a Be'er Shanol to be Yontif, that as we learned at the beginning of Masechta, Beisel says that that Bey is Osir. Was it a Bey that was born during the week, which of course is mutter to be eaten? But says Rav Ashi, as we discussed in our previous year, Havalei Davashesh Lamatirin, because after Yontif, everybody would agree that I'm allowed to eat this egg. And we have a rule that called Davashesh Lamatirin, something that will be ultimately mutter, a filu bedrabonon, even if we're dealing just with Issa drabonon, still the halacha is loy bottle, because as we learned from Rashi, at shetachlena beisur, tachlena beheter. Why have any question? Let's just avoid any question. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Acherim Amir Mishim Reb Lezer, Beya Ta'echo Hiva Ema. An egg that was hatched on Yontif, it and its mother may be consumed. Ask the Gemara of Mayaskinan. Let's understand this Braisa. What is the case of this Braisa? Elaim B'tanik Ganas HaMedes L'chila. If we're going to say we're talking about a chicken, it was born from a chicken that mother is meant to be eaten, shita, then of course, hivi imasharya, it may be eaten. Why do we have to, if it's meant to be eaten, and anything that's meant to be eaten is not muksa. Ella asked the Gemara, are we going to say that we're speaking about a tanagoylus amedes legadl bayim, that's meant to be used to raise eggs and not to be eaten? So then it's muksa. So then the halacha ought to be, asked the Gemara, hivi ima asura. So what's the case that this price is speaking about? Says the Gemara, Amrav Zera, what it means to say is, toichel agav ima. If the mother can be eaten, then the egg can be eaten. What does that mean? Heichi domi, Amrav Abaya, kigoyin shalach chastam. That somebody bought that chicken without deciding and designating if it's going to be used for eating or for eggs. And then on Yontif, he shechted that animal, that chicken, in order to eat it. So by shechting the chicken, what he's showing it is hover the achilat medes, that even though at the beginning of Yontif, it wasn't yet designated that it's meant to be eaten. But since the Isser here is only an Isser the Rabbanon, and when we have an Issa the Rabbanon, we could rely on Breira. We could rely on retroactive designation. And that's why here, even though it was only designated on Yontif, then it becomes obvious that this chicken is Lachila Medis, this hen is Lachila Medis, and therefore you could eat the egg with it as well. That means, if I only had the egg, I would not be allowed to eat it, explained the Rishonim, because we're concerned about an egg that's born on Yontif because of Mashkin Shazava, or we're concerned of Peiros HaNoshrim. Here, when we shecht the mother, it shows that the egg was meant lechila, and therefore it may be eaten. Loy nishkata, but we don't shecht the mother. Nhuvera, since obviously gal bay my medis, and therefore the mother is muksa, and the egg is certainly muksa. Remeri omer, we're talking about a chicken that's meant to be eaten. And the reason we could eat the egg is because this price is following the opinion of Beis Shammai, that any egg that's born on Yontif can be eaten. We're not worried about Mashkim Shazavu. We're not worried about Peiris Anoshim. And Guzmaktani. And the Mishnah, the Brisa should be understood like that the Brisa represents an exaggeration. That really it did not have to be said, but it's because it's obvious. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Achira Omer Mishimra Beleza, Beya Toichel Hiva Imai, and you can eat the chick and its shell. Ask the Gemara, what does the Braisa mean when it says kliposoi? My kliposoi, ilai mi klipa mamish, that we're going to eat the shell? Ask the Gemara, klipa basachilihi, would anybody eat the shell of an egg? El afroich bi kliposoi, we can eat the chick when it's still in its shell. Because says the Gemara, how could that be? Ask the Gemara, how could that be? Because atkan lepliga le rabbanah le Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, we're going to have a machloikis between Reb Chacham and Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. At what point can a chick be eaten? If it opened their eyes or not? Hecha de yotz lavir oilam, if it came out of its shell. If it didn't come out of its shell, loy pligi, there's no machloikis, that it may not be eaten. Ela afroich v'kliposoi. What? How must we understand when it says that you can eat the chick with its shell? Guzma. Similarly, says the Gemara, hachnam toichel v'ima guzma. There was no reason to speak about the mother. The mother goes without question to be eaten. The mother goes without question that to be eaten, and we're speaking about. But this Brisa spoke in that fashion where it speaks about exaggerations, even though it's not necessary to say these halachas. Itmar. So says the Gemara, they taught us in the yeshiva the following shaila. Shabbos for Yontif. If you have a situation of Shabbos and Yontif, one after the other, that means whether Yontif is on Friday or Yontif is on Sunday. Rav Amanolda Bezeh Sur Bezeh. If an egg was born on the first of these 2 days, not only may it not be eaten that day, but it may not be eaten the next day as well. Rav Yochanan Amanol de Bezeh Meteres Bezeh. It could be eaten that day. Name a Kosovo Rav. Kedush Achas. So the Gemara, that it could be eaten on the next day. So the Gemara wants to suggest that what is the machloikis of Rav and Rav Yochanan based on? How do we look at these two consecutive days? The Gemara wants to suggest the Rav holds Kedusha Achasi, it's one long Kedusha. And therefore, just like as we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, the egg that was born on Shabbos for Yontif may not be eaten. The next day, which is an extension of that day, it will also not be allowed to be eaten. Ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that is Pshat? Vomer Rav. Rav teaches us in Masechet Erevin on Daf Lamed Ches on the Beis, that Halacha Karbazakinam, that the halach is like the four tanoim that I mentioned there. Valibadir Beleza, the Omar, that says, Shtei Kedusha saying, that the Shabbos and Yontif are considered two separate Kedushas. And therefore, the Gemara over there said that you can make an Erev Techumim for the one day in one direction, and for the other day in the other direction, because they're considered two separate, two separate Kedushas. Why, asks the Ber Yitzchak, does the Gemara have to say that Rav holds that like four Chachamim? As long as he could say one opinion, that's enough. So the Ber Yitzchak says that if it would be a Rabbim that would say different than him, then it would be difficult for him to disagree. So he specifically said there were so many people that hold that way, that must be the halacha. Elo, so what's the machloik? So if that's the case, then everybody agrees that when you have a Shabbos Yontif situation, it's certainly considered like shtei kedushas. Why does Rav hold Nol de Bezeh Asur Bezeh? Says the Gemara, we go back to something we discussed on Daf Beis. V'hocha b'chana de Rav Kibufki. Rav taught us on Daf Beis and Beis that we're not allowed to eat on Yontif something that became prepared on Shabbos or vice versa. And therefore, since this egg got prepared on Shabbos, if Yontif follows it, I can't eat it on Yontif, or vice versa. And the Gemara is suggesting, Rav is leichana de Rabba, Rav Yochanan less leichana de Rabba. So many Rishonim, starting Tosfos, ask the question, that the egg that's born on Shabbos, the Gemara said at the beginning of the Masechta, is prepared the day before. So if we have a situation where we have Shabbos and then Yontif, so according to what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that means that egg was prepared already the day before it was actually born, which was on Friday, which wasn't not Shabbos nor Yontif. So why can't I eat that egg on Sunday? So Tosfos says that there are two types of achana. There's the achana that takes place the day before the egg is actually hatched, and there's the achana that takes place on the day the egg is hatched. When the Gemara said at the beginning of our Masechta that an egg becomes mukhan the day before, the Gemara did not mean to say that the extent of achana is limited to the day before it's born. Certainly the day that it's born is also a day of achana. And since it's also a day of achana, therefore it's considered that this egg on the next day is osur because it became mukhan on the day before, which was Shabbos, the Yontif. And Rabbi Yochanan says the Gemara, less leichana de Rabba, doesn't subscribe to the concept of achana. Kitanoi, and says the Gemara, this question that we're saying that the machloikis here is, do we subscribe to achana or not? Says the Gemara, the machloikis tanoim. The machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan is actually a machloikis tanoim. Nol de Shabbos toichel be Yontif. The Braisa says that if you have Shabbos following Yontif, it was born on Shabbos, you could eat it the next day. Be Yontif toichel b'Shabbos, or vice versa. If you die m'shim r'blezer, a die m'chloikis. So b'Shamay, according to b'Shamay's opinion, is toichel, or b'Sil Omrim, loy toichel. And the Mefarshim makes a very important observation. It says that normally, when we have a m'chloikis tanoim, a meroim, And then the Gemara discovers a machlokes tanoim, which is similar. And the Gemara says, Nemika tanoi, says the Tzlach, the way we're always supposed to understand the Gemara is not that the Gemara is making a statement, that the machlokes amaroim is really a machlokes tanoim, but rather, the way to understand the Gemara is asking a question. What's this machlokes amaroim? Isn't it a machlokes tanoim already? And maroim are expected to know the machlokes of Tanoim. So what would Amroim arguing over a subject that was already the subject of dispute between the Tanoim? So over here, says the Tzlach, it's not like this way. Because although the subject of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan were the same, it's not exactly the same. And the Tzlach explains, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, as the Gemara said, strictly were arguing over the subject of do we subscribe of Achana de Rabba or not. But the machloikis that the Tanoim have wasn't regarding Achana de Rabba. It was arguing in a general sense. So when Rav and Rabbi Yochanan introduced the concept of Achana de Rabba, it wasn't just repeating what the Meroyim were discussing. So Al Gemara here discussed that Shabbos and Yontif, the original Havamin of the Gemara, was that perhaps Shabbos for Yontif, Kedusha Achas. And the Mefarshim tried to understand, how can we suggest that Shabbos for Yontif is Kedusha Achas? We know the halachas of Shabbos and the halachas of Yontif are very different. Shabbos, all melachas asur on Yontif, oichel nefesh is mutter. Shabbos, if somebody's bechal Shabbos, there's a skilis, a karis, which doesn't apply to Yontif. So why did the Gemara have a havamina that the one Kedusha. So Rabbi Hativ, in the beginning of Hilchos Yontif, in Simen Tuf Tzadik Hesef Aleph, makes a very important statement. Kamalacha Asur B'Shabbos, any malacha that's also B'Shabbos is Asur B'Yontif. Says the Behetiv, Hatam She'os Las Malacha B'Yontif, the reason one may not do malacha on Yontif, the Sefer Chinuch says, Kedei She'yisku Yisrael Anisim Magdoilim She'os Hashem Yisbarach Lehem La'Vaseyem, we should remember all the Nisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. We should speak about them. We should inform them to our children. If we won't be busy with all the mundane fact things that we do every day, according to this explanation, Shabbos and Yom Tov have the exact same purpose. Shabbos and Yom Tov are here for us to take stop and consider all of the Nisim Hashem does for us. That's why we could explain why the Gemara wanted to suggest that Shabbos and Yom Tov are Kedusha Achas. And in fact, if we look in Parshas Emor, the Torah says, "Dabal Bnei Yisrael v'amart aleihem mayadei Hashem shetikra yisam mikrayi kodesh elohein mayadei." So Rashi immediately asks, "My Indian Shabbos eats the Mayadis. How does Shabbos get into the discussion of Yom Tovim?" Tells us Rashi, "Lalamdecha shekal mechalas Mayadis. If somebody desecrates Yom Tovim, malon alav kilechilas Shabbosos. It's considered like it was mechal Shabbos." And the words of Rashi need much understanding. Of course, one is not to be mechalal yontif. But why does Rashi say that if somebody is mechalal yontif, it's considered like he was mechalal Shabbos? As we just said a moment ago, yontif and Shabbos are very different. But if we take the words of the Chinuch, we understand what Rashi says very well. Because the way we're learning now is Shabbos and yontif actually represent the same concept. Days for us to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yes, there may be different rules, but the days are there for the same purpose, and that's why Rashi in the Chumash tells us that if some is Mechal Yontov, is like Mechal Shabbos, could they really start from the same place? Says the Gemara, Ishbezichna de Rav Adar Bar Hava, Havalei Hanach Bei Miyontov Shabbos. Rav Adar Bar Hava's host had this exact situation. Eggs was a Yontov Shabbos situation, and eggs were born on one day. And the question was, what was the status of those eggs the next day? Also, Kameh, so he came to Rav Adar Bar Hava, and he asked him, Ma'al Litvinu Huedna v'nechen l'mocher, may I roast them on Yontov to eat them the next day on Shabbos? Amalei, Ma'adatach. He asked him, why do you think it should be mutter? Because we just learned the machloikas of Rav Rabbi Yochanan, and we have a rule in Shas that when we have a machloikas Rav Rabbi Yochanan, halach Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore since Rabbi Yochanan took the lenient approach, that's why you're assuming we could be lenient here. Says the Gemara, "Filo Rabbi Yochanan like a shari el legoima lemachar." When Rabbi Yochanan said, "If the egg was born on Yontif the next day, I could eat it," means I could eat it raw. Av b'yoymai. On the day he was born, Rabbi Yochanan is agreeable that in the day that the egg is born, it's muksa. And therefore, I can't cook it that day. And the next day is Shabbos, when certainly we may not cook it. And therefore, the next day, even Rabbi Yochanan, who takes the lenient approach, will only allow us to swallow it raw, but nothing else. And the Gemara says, Vatanya, here, Vatanya is a raya. The Brisa teaches us, Achas Bei Shanol de B'Shabbos, on the day it's born, it may not be moved under any circumstances. Loy lachasis as a kli, not to use it to cover a kaliv, loy lisvach by kare amita, because it's muksa on that day. The next day, it's not muksa according to Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Ush bezuchne der Rapapa, Vamalei who gavered the osla kame der Papa, the host of Rapapa, and others say it was a person that came to see Rav Papa, Havalei Hanach Bei Mishabbos L'Yontif, again, had the same question that we're discussing, where eggs were hatched on Shabbos, and the question was the next day. Asla Kamei, they came to Rav Papa on Shabbos, Amalei, and they asked him, Ma'al Milchlenin Lamacher, may they be eaten the next day? Amalei, so they told him, Zil, Rav Papa said, I can't answer you today. Zil Idna, Metal Lamacher, go away, don't come now, come back tomorrow. The reason that he did not want to answer him, because he says, the Rav le muka mura alemi yoy metavil chavre. Rav, on Yontav afternoon, did not have anybody ask him any shilas, mishum shikras, because he drank on Sudas Yontav, and once he drank, he's not allowed to say any shurim and halacha. And the Chasam Sofer says that on the first day Yontif, Rav did not say any shir and halacha after the Suda. But on the second day, he did. And the Chasam Sofer says a beautiful explanation as why. The halacha is, as Yontif is still approaching, the shir the Rav is supposed to say is a shir and halacha. So on the first day Yontif, or on Shabbos preceding Yontif, tomorrow is still going to be Yontif. Since tomorrow is still going to be Yontif, the Rav has to say a shir and halacha. And a Rav can't say a shir and halacha when he drank. But in the second day Yontif, there's no need to prepare a shir for halacha in Yontif anymore. Yontif is over. So then he could say a shir and agarata. A shir and agarata, says the Chasam Sofer, one may say even if he drank. Kios lamacha. So they came back the next day to ask the Shaila. Amalei, echo hashta. If you would have asked me the Shaila yesterday after I had drunk, ishtaloi, I would have made a mistake. Vamilach, and I would have told you that we have a rule, that never Rav Rabbi Yochanan, we have a machlokes Rav Rabbi Yochanan, the lochs Rabbi Yochanan. Ha, amarava, hilchs kerov, say the Rabbi Hani Tlas, but Rava, we're going to learn on Daf Hei, Amabei says that even though normally when we have a machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, in these three situations, we follow the opinion of Rav, three situations, Bein L'kul L'chumra, and this is one of them. And therefore, Shabbos V'Yontif, back to back, an egg that's born on one day is Osir on both days. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Eitzim Shenoshim Radekel B'Shabbos, if wood fell off the tree on Shabbos, Osir L'Sikim V'Yontif. And the next day is Yontif. And of course, in Yontif, we're allowed to make a fire, Eichel Nefesh. That word we can't use. Val Tishiveni Beya. And don't ask me, says Rabbi Yochanan. I just have been telling you that Beya Shenolda on one day, Beya Shenolda B'Shabbos is Mutter on Yontif the next day, says the Gemara, my Tama. Beya Mishim de B'Yoyim and Nami Chazal Gaima. The day that it's born, it to be eaten raw. Loi kasharile ad lamachar, and therefore I could have had a use for it. And even though I could have had a use for it, I don't let it to be eaten. So it's going to be clear to everybody, may the yedeya the bas yoyim asrua. Everybody will know that day it may not be eaten, because why didn't I let you eat it raw? The fact that I didn't let you eat it in any fashion on Shabbos will be a good way to know the halacha. However, Eitzim D'Lechazel Yomayu, the wood that came down on Shabbos, it has no use. You can't use wood on Shabbos. Ishar Le Lamachar, if I'm going to allow you to use it the next day on Yontif, Oslamayim D'Biyamei Namishari, people are going to say that wood is not muksa. And the only reason it wasn't used on Shabbos is because Shabbos, I can't burn a fire. And they're going to make a mistake that if Yontif and then Shabbos come, and the wood fell down on Yontif, I'm going to, where Yontif I'm allowed to use firewood, I'm going to use it. And that's, of course, wrong. Amra Masna. If the wood fell off from the tree directly into the furnace. So says Rav Asna, we just said that wood is muksa. So he says what you could do is, marbala eitzim mukhanim, you could take and add to the wood in the oven more wood, which is not muksa wood, wood that was prepared before yontif that you're going to use for firewood on yontif, or masikin. And like that, burn them all together. Ask the Gemara, for kamahapach bisura, but when you're poking the fire, you're going to be touching the muksa wood. Answers the Gemara, kiv the ruba da teraninu, since most of the wood is in that oven, is mutter wood, ki kamahapach, so when you're turning over the wood, the aloch is you're turning over by teru kamahapach. So all the Rishonim, the Rajba, many Rishonim say that the only way that the Gemara is being lenient here is with two conditions. Number one is that the wood that usher fell into an oven that already had mutter digger wood. It didn't have enough wood that's mutter that it would be the roiv, and it would be mevatel the wood that's usher, but it had much mutter digger wood in it. Number two, that the Rishonim say, it has to be in a situation where the wood that's usher is not noticeably, is not identifiable. Wood is wood, but if it's identifiable, then it wouldn't be able to be lenient. But ask the Gemara, but even with all of these conditions that we just mentioned, we have a rule that we're not allowed to be mevatel isl chatchila. And here, if we only had this wood that fell on yontif, adding the extra wood, we would have a problem of kamavatl isl chatchila. V'tanan, and the halacha is that ei mevatl isl chatchila. We're never allowed to be mevatl isl chatchila. So how can we follow this approach? Answers the Gemara. Hani mili, when is there a rule that ei mevatl isl chatchila? That's only by an issa d'raisa. But here, eitzim shenoshru is an issa d'rabbanon. By d'rabbanon, we could be more lenient. So I saw that the Imre Emes quoted the Chiddush Arim that says that the reason the Eim Mevatlin Issel Chatchila is because by being Mevatlin Issel Chatchila, I'm profiting from the Isser. And Chazal don't want us to have any benefit from Isser, because let's say I have the wood that's not good, our example, and Roiv of the wood is good, but I'm benefiting from the wood that's Muksa. Another explanation that I saw is that the reason Eim Mevatel Issel Chatchila, because something that's mutter, we have a combination of mutter and isser. Something which is mutter is a dov sheish lematirin. And since it's a dov sheish lematirin, something that's dov sheish lematirin, we learned in our previous year, we learned earlier in today's year, we never say bittel isser on something which is a dov sheish lematirin. A very interesting shaila that the Paiskim discuss, Eim Mevatel Issel Chatchila means that we're not allowed to, if we have a drop of milk falling into a meat pot, we don't have shishim. So Eim Mevatel Issel Chatchila teaches us that we can't add more meat till have shishim. But what's going to be the halacha if we have milk? The milk is milk. And now I add water to the milk. So at this point, when I'm adding the water to the milk, I didn't do anything wrong. Milk for itself is mutter, is something which is mutter. Now I add much water to that milk, and the milk that I have becomes bottle. So now the question is, that milk is bottle. And why am I doing this? The reason is because I want to drink this water-milk mixture, even though the milk is bottle, after I eat meat. And we know, of course, you're not allowed to drink milk after you eat meat. But this milk is bottle. So the question is, would that be considered bittel isl chatchila? Because when I did the bittel, there was no isser. And the Sefer Chashuki Chemed discusses this question, and he says that it's hard to be, it's a machloikis if the bittel isl chatchila applies, if when I'm doing the bittel, there is no isser on the table yet. Ask the Gemara, or Rav Ashi the Omer, called of sheish lematirim, I feel the rabbanon like bottle. Even by an issur rabbanon, a dov sheish lematirim doesn't become bottle. Ma'ik lemeimer. How are we going to explain this case? Answers the Gemara. Hanimili hechad issur lesur be'ini. Even Rav Ashi, who says that a dove sheish lematirin with machmer, and this is a dove sheish lematirin because this wood that fell into the furnace on Yontif, it's after Yontif not going to be a problem. Hasam, that's only when the Isser is still intact. Hasam, but here the wood gets burnt up. And since the wood gets burnt up, nikli koli asurei, and therefore it's totally different. We in Golis keep 2 days Yontif. Yontif Shagolius. The only Yontif that everybody keeps 2 days is Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam explains there was a history. Originally, we know that the Jewish calendar has either 29 or 30-day month. And the Bezdin Yerushalayim, Edom would come and say when they saw the new month. And based on the testimony the Edom offered, they would start lighting torches to let the people know when Rosh Chodesh was. But once the Kutim started tampering with that, so what happened was that they started a new system where they sent messengers. And Shluchim would tell them, for certain months they sent messages to let the people know when was the new month. But in that situation, there were only certain places to which the messages were able to get to before Yontif was known. So where the messengers got to was we kept only 1 day Yontif because they knew when Rosh Chodesh was declared. The places that the messengers didn't get to was where the messengers didn't get to and they did not know. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and there was no, and Bezdin no longer determines the new month. The Bezdin does not determine the new month. The way the new month is determined is with the calendar, the established calendar that we have, that Hillel established the calendar, which works forever, we know when the months are. But even though that was established, the halacha is that in places where they kept 2 days Yontif because the shluchim didn't get to, the halacha is that they, because as we're going to learn in our shir, minhag v'seim b'yadeihem, and we keep 2 days Yontif even though we for sure know when Yontif is. The question that there's machlokes Rambam and the Ritva is how do we establish what is what? So the Rambam says the way it's established is if it's a place where the shluchim arrived, then we keep only 1 day. If it's a place where the shluchim didn't arrive, we keep 2 days. Ritva says it's not dependent on if the shluchim arrive or not. It's dependent on Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Laretz. In all of Eretz Yisrael, says the Ritva, we keep 1 day Yontif, and all of Chutz Laretz, we keep 2 day Yontif. Says the Gemara, Itma Shnei Yom Taim Shagolius. If we have 2 days Yontif that we keep in Chutz Laretz, Rav Amenolda Bezem Teres Bezem, that the egg that's born on the first day is mut on the second day, because one of those days is not Yontif. And Rav Asi Amenolda Bezem Sur Bezem. Ask the Gemara, why would Rav Asi take that approach? Lema Kosov Rav Asi, are we going to suggest that Rav Asi's opinion is that Kedusha Achasi, that the 2 days of Yontif and Chutz Laretz are one long Kedusha? Ask the Gemara, how can we possibly consider that to be Rav Asi's opinion? Rav Asi mavdil b'yontif l'chaveri. When we kept 2 days Yontif in Chutz Laretz, he still made Havdalah in between. So he obviously doesn't consider it one long Kedusha. Says the Gemara, Rav Asi mesupki mesapkalei. Rav Asi wasn't quite sure what to do. And that's why Avad Hachal l'chumra, Vachal l'chumra. On one hand, he considered it like one Kedusha, and that's why Nol de Bezu, Asur Bezu. And on the other hand, he made Havdalah. But all the Mepharshim ask, if Asi wasn't quite sure, how could he make Havdalah? The Havdalah is a Brachal v'Atala. So the Ritva says that he didn't make a separate Havdalah. In the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei that he davened, he would say Havdalah. And since he only said Havdalah that way, that's not considered a Brachal v'Atala. Another pshat that the Shita suggests is that keeping 2 days yontiv is a chiyuv d'rabbanan. The chiyuv havdalah is a chiyuv d'oraisa. And therefore, he felt the chiyuv d'oraisa of making havdalah supersedes the isser of the din that is keeping 2 days yontiv. However, the halacha certainly say all the rishonim doesn't follow like Rav Asi, and we don't make havdalah between 1 day yontiv and the other day yontiv, because it would be a zilzal. It would be a zilzal in yontiv sheni if we were to make havdalah. Moreover, I saw that the Rama suggests that we do make havdalah after the 2nd day yontiv, and he said, and in fact, they explain what the Rama means to say. Very interesting. We know that if somebody didn't make Havdalah Matzah Shabbos, he can make Havdalah till Tuesday evening. So the Rama is saying, yes, maybe we should make Havdalah after the 1st day. But we always can make Havdalah a day later. And that's what we'll do here to avoid any Shaila. Rav Asi, however, held that this halacha, that you can make Havdalah a little later, is not something that one should do. And since that's not something that one should do, there's no other option but to make the Havdalah. There's no other option but to make the Havdalah, even though it seems self-contradictory. On one hand, I'm making Havdalah, and then I'm going to make Kiddush. The Bei Shinolda on Yontav Rishon is also Yontav Sheni. The Idna Yadinah B'Kvi D'Yarcha. As we said earlier, we certainly know when the Rosh Chodesh is. We have Hillel's calendar, and still, Kavdin and Trey Yomah. So we see that the Trei Yoyma, Chazal established that we should keep 2 Yom Tovim, it's Yoyma Richta. Omer Rabbi Kavosei the Rav Mistabra. I agree with Rav, the Tanan, B'Shoina, as we mentioned earlier, there was a history. B'Shoina Yomasim Asuas. First they had these torches, and they lit the torches only in a month, which is a 30-day month. But Mishakilkel Akutim, and they, if it lit the torch on that night, and there was confusion, when is Rosh Chodesh? Heskinish Shluchim Yoytzim. They started relying on messengers. Vila Batla Kutim, says Abaya, if there would be no concern of the Kutim, Avdin and Chayech Yontif, we only make 1 day Yontif. Vehecha de Matu, and where the Shluchim arrive, Avdin and Chayech Yoyma. So we see that it was not something that they say you always have to keep 2 days. It was only done out of necessity. So ask the Gemara, if it was only done out of necessity, so hashtu the adina b'kvi de yarcha, we know when Rosh Chodesh is, so why do we in Chutz Laretz my tam avdina trei yoyma? Answers the Gemara, from the Shochem tam, there was a message that was sent from Eretz Yisrael to the Golos, his har of a minig of the same v'yadechem. Follow the minig, the zimna the gozra malchus gzeira, the malchus may make a gzeira, vasla kakule. There may come a time that we won't remember how to keep to the, when the Rosh Chodesh is, how to follow this established calendar. And we may end up eating chametz when it's Pesach. And that's why we in Golos keep the 2 day yontif, because minag avaseim b'yadeim. And in fact, I saw that Rav Zilberstein in the Cheshukei Chemed says that if somebody has a choice to eat kidneys on Pesach, which is a minig that Ashkenazim don't eat, or to wait less than 6 hours, he suggests a very bechidish that we should follow our minig is more important. Since in Shulchan Aruch there is an opinion that you don't have to wait 6 hours, a minig is more important than anything else. And that's why Reb Moshe says that even if somebody is from Chutz Laretz, that it's in Eretz Yisrael, such a person should keep 2 days Yontif. Because we're not keeping 2 days Yontif because we don't know when Yontif is. We're keeping it because it's a minig for all people in Chutz Laretz. And once it became a minig for everybody in Chutz Laretz, everybody in Chutz Laretz has to keep that minig. Although, I saw a tremendous chiddush from Shlomo Zalman that he says that if you have a katan that's becoming a ger in Eretz Yisrael, even though he intends to live in Chutz Laretz, but if his first yontif he's still in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't have to keep 2 days yontif, because he never had yet the minig that he has to keep 2 days yontif. But then I saw a beautiful pshat. Why is it so important to keep this the second day Yontif? So I saw that the Yitav Panim explains. When we think about, he says, this whole concept of Yontif Sheni, Yontif Sheni is a difficult concept to absorb. We make Kiddush, we say, Asher Kiddushonim Mitzvoysov, that today is Yontif, we make Kiddush, we don't put on tefillin. How are we allowed to do so when, as we're learning in our Gemara so many times in today's Shir, we know that today is not Yontif? The answer, he says, is because the Torah says in Parsha Shoftim, we're supposed to follow what Chazal say under all circumstances. So he explains, we live in a world where we need to rely on tzaddikim. The Gemara says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes a gzeira, and a tzaddik has the ability to mevatel the gzeira. So we're so desperate to have the gzeira, the power of Chazal. And if we're not going to follow that, shemekilkelu, there's going to be a time where we're going to be so desperate for the divrei Chazal. And if we're not going to keep their rules, then how can we rely on them? And that's why we should keep it, even if the reason no longer applies.